Okay, well, we're going to get into the Word. And this sermon I named, it's called Something Dead. This sermon came to me when I was watching one show on TV on a Discovery Channel, and it was showing Chronicles how dogs are attacking, how like animals attack. I've seen lions attacking, dogs attacking, and a thought came to me. I've seen one dog, I think it was a bulldog, I'm not sure the exact breed, that bit a woman, grabbed onto her, and he was holding her. You know, they have a lockjaw, they don't release. And this dog grabbed onto this woman, and they were beating this dog with baseball bats. They try to do everything. She was losing blood, and until one of the officers shot the dog's head, the dog would not release this woman. And you know, watching these shows, a thought came to me, when is our Christians going to start taking something and not to ever let go to the rest of our days? Our Christianity became so weak and relaxed, the devil comes and steals everything in our life. Our families, our children, our friends, our money, our health. We just simply lay down to the feet of the devil into this world because we're not aggressive in our destiny. Because we're not aggressive in our life, they rob us and do whatever they want with us. We're just a sacrifice to the world. At the same time, God gave us all the authority and power to clean up all the mess in our life and our destiny. You know, when I was watching these things, watching a lion that was hunting and was holding on to his prey until he choked it finally. And you know, Christianity a lot of times these animals have the capability to seek prey, find prey, and no matter what, to take over this prey. Christianity in our days simply became a sacrifice. It gave up without a fight. We became the kind of people that simply exist in someone else's world that was created by someone else. Somebody created the rules, our destiny, and our life. But when God created everything, He put all that into our hands. And the church has authority to change everything. But nobody wants to go against the system. Nobody wants to go against what the religion devil in this world has built. We simply gave up. We simply sat down and just humbled ourselves with everything that came into our life. We humbled ourselves with our halfway life paycheck, with our halfway life health. We humbled ourselves with everything, and this became a normal. It became normal for us to live that way because that's the kind of destiny is. Nobody's fighting, and you're thinking, why should I care? And this way, we lose everything in our life because nobody has a backbone to just get into a breakthrough for what God has given you. We surrender. We don't want to. We give up. You know, in Ukraine, there's a saying. You all know it. My house is on the side, and I know nothing. And we're used to living in these kind of obstacles. I've seen people. When I was growing up, I was growing up in the streets. And it had rough rules over there. Those people who grew up on the streets, they know what it's like. Chains and you know, blood and you know what exists over there. And lots of fights and all that stuff. And when I would walk by and see some things, some crowd would be beating some guy, let's say. And you're just driving by on the bus. And I seen a fight. And there's about 50 people, and one guy, there's three or four guys are beating one guy, and nobody cares about what's going on over there, because nobody wants to get involved because they don't want to get hit themselves. And this became our principle of life. I'm talking about bulldogs and fights, but I want you to listen to me in a spiritual way about our life that we live in. We are just quietly, our generation, our kids that have the teenagers, we let them go to the devil without putting up a fight, putting up a fight. We just say, oh, what can we do? The world is the type of world we live in. And a lot of parents, they try to change schools. They try to leave to another state where there's not so much bad stuff. But fact is a fact. You're not going to run from yourself. If you're a weak person that does not know how to fight for yours and stand on yours, and you don't have a lock jaw, you're going to be robbed and you're going to be poor. You're going to be a poor person who doesn't have anything in his life. You know, in the Bible, we watch these type of people who grab on with a lockjaw into their dream, and they reach their dream. You know, my dream, I've always had my dream, and I still have it. It's for this nation to be saved, to save this nation in any way, with anything I can do, to reach this nation through television, through finance, through whatever, to scream loud enough for them to hear you. Whether you like it or not, you're either going to become a conqueror or you're going to become a sacrifice. You might be smiling, but inside you could be defeated. You could be destroyed personality inside. You're nobody. You live the life, and nobody except you or your husband, who can hardly stand you, and can't say anything good about you. You know what's the most terrible place in the world? Is the cemetery. Why? Not because there's dead people. They don't harm nobody. Because there's people who never reached anything in their life. Every time I drive by, be it once a year, twice a year, we go and bury somebody. We go to some kind of a funeral. And we simply go over there. And there's people standing around this tomb. I'm usually walking around, and I'm looking at other little plates of when you go to a cemetery, go and read these things, and you'll be able to see if a person has reached something in his life just by looking at there's a name, last name, date of birth, and date of death, and that's it. What can this tell me? You come to another one. This is a huge one. It says tons of things. This is a father. This is a son. This is a person who reached this and that. People who are really dear to our heart. You see a whole written big, big things engraved in the rock. And you know this person has reached something. And you walk around through the cemetery. There's hundreds and hundreds of... and you don't even know who these people are. I don't want to live like that. So that everything that I leave behind me is my name, my birth and death. That's it. And nobody, I'm not talking about that I have to have a nice one. I care less. I don't want to. We all believe that we're going to be, we're going to go into heaven, the eruption or whatever. But we're going to keep moving forward. I want, after my life, to be able to leave something when I go, for somebody to remember and say, we're going to miss this person. You know, it's hard to watch people, that they whether they lived or didn't live, they know they're nobody. Never leaving a footprint, didn't do anything special in her destiny, to just simply existed like an animal. Work, food, sex, vacations, and that's it. That's his whole life. It all keeps going around in circles. If I right now take away everything from you, take away your car, take away your clothes, take away your wife, your kids, husband, business, everything, And then I'm going to ask you a question. Who are you? You know, most people won't be able to give me an answer because it's what they have. Toys, things, hairstyles. Let's shave everybody. You're going to start hiding because your personality is going to be gone. Because everything that you wore is just your cool $50 haircut that you got at a cool haircut place. If I take off everything I could take off from you and take away everything I could take off from you, will we be able to recognize you when everything is gone? You know that I want to live the kind of life that there wouldn't be a difference whether I have, what am I dressed in, how I look. People to know who I am and who you are. Not because you have something or who you hang out with, but who you are. What do you represent out of yourself? Can you come into a society for 10 minutes? In 10 minutes, can you change their mentality? You're going to ask me, what do you mean? That's what I mean. Get into a crowd of people, set them around you, and tell them about how you know God, and their life will change. You know, I do this all the time. We need to understand that we have the authority to change everything around us. Everything that makes us us is our mentality. I want to ask you a question. Who influences your mentality? Who influences your mentality is the person who controls your life. Take a look carefully what's around you, who's around you, what you hear, what you soak in, how you live. That's what creates you. You know that God is seeking people that don't want to release anything. God is seeking people who grab on to something, to their dream. I want to ask you a question. Do you have a dream? You know, my sermons, they always come together with vision and goal in life. Because if I'm talking to people without any goals or dreams, you won't be able to understand me. You're just going to blink your eyes and then you're going to leave here and turn on your bass in the car and boom, 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 and that's over. That's it. If you at least have a little bit of some kind of dream or wish to do something in your life, not just to eat, to sleep, to work, and back into your bed, get your remote control and watch TV, that is not your life. Life is given to you for you to do something out of it. Where are you going to invest your life into? Everything that we have is the most important and dear in our life. It's our life. I can take away your car, not a problem. You'll buy another one. I can take away your clothes, not a problem. You'll buy another set. I can shave you. Okay, you can wait. Your hair will grow back. I can do anything with your life. Everything will come back. But when time comes to your health and your life, right here, guys, that's where our instinct of survival comes into play. People pay all the money just to try to keep their health. People do everything to restore the leg that the doctor wants to cut off. We do everything we can because it's the most important in our life is our life. And I'll tell you, that's the most terrible thing that we're in charge of, and we just throw it away left and right without thinking about it. There is nothing more important from you than your life. What happened yesterday, I'm going to ask you. And you probably don't even remember what happened yesterday. Okay, yesterday, okay, you can skip a day. What happened a year ago? What 1 year gave you? If you sit down and you just divide your year into months, and what can I see about you from this year? What can you give me from your last year? You know, I like people in the Bible where it talks about these people did not release until they received. Genesis 32:24. Genesis 32, verse 24. We're reading about Jacob. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled this man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will be no longer Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God, and with men you overcome." We're reading a story about a people who was living an interesting life. And then his life came to, there was a serious attack came to him. His brother wanted to destroy him. He wanted to kill him. And he has a moment in life, is to grab onto God, because besides God, nobody's going to help him. Nobody's going to be able to help you. I want to tell you, he grabbed onto God with the kind of a lock. God himself could not leave. How can you not let go of God? Tell me, he's a spirit. What did he grab him onto? A leg? His hair? Some. No, he was standing in a breakthrough. He said, "God, I'm not going to release. I'm not going to get out of these knees, not until you bless me." He was grabbing onto him with his hunger. He was holding on to him from with what he had inside. He was holding on with what he wanted. He said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Because Jacob knew. He was in the house of his father-in-law. He knows if there's no blessing, there's never going to be any success. Especially in the Old Testament, if a person was not blessed, there was no success. So he grabbed onto God. He said, "I will not let you go." Where are these Christians who have the kind of dream so big that they will not let go of God? I believe this generation will raise up. God will be able to get to us. I know we're going to reach it. Can you imagine if Jacob just let God go? God says, "Let me go." He says, "Okay. But why couldn't you ask me earlier?" You let him go? Imagine. I guarantee you, if his brother met him, he would have killed him because there was no protection on him. He didn't take anything. Sometimes we live in this life. We just exist. We walk. We don't take God. You know who our God is? Who Jesus is in our life? Take a look on the wall over there. Oh, look. There's a fire extinguisher over there. Do you ever pay attention to that thing? Never. If I didn't show you that fire extinguisher, you probably would have not seen that thing for 10 years walking next to it. That's how Jesus is in our life. When we need him, that's when we take it. That's our life. Yeah, he's there. He's hanging there. But as soon as some kind of a emergency situation or somebody almost shot my brains out or almost put me in a jail or something happened with my taxes, next thing you know, we take him off the wall and we start spraying. You know, that's how Christianity lives. God is like a first aid kit that's there for backup, you know, in case something happens, you know. That's the life. God wants to live. He wants to be in you. He wants you to be in him. He wants to be with you. Because we don't know the seasons, we can't plan everything. We sow when we're supposed to reap, and we reap when we're supposed to sow. We do make movements that we shouldn't be making because we don't know the right season. We're saying, "Lord, we need this. At the same time, you don't need that." Knowing, having the knowledge of seasons, Solomon spoke about that. He said, "There is time for everything under the heaven." Right now is the time for the church to raise up. All the obstacles speak that the church has to stand up. 10 years ago, there could be nothing that we see today. What our parents prayed about in Ukraine and Russia, we are seeing this with our eyes. Before, I did not see demons coming out. If I even seen one, demon come, that would have been like a show for the rest of my life. Now we see this every month. We see nobody even pays attention to that stuff. Some demon, you know, gets casted out. Nobody. Before, oh, demons are coming out. I remember the first year we started casting out demons. We talked about demons more about the whole than the Holy Spirit. And now we're like, come on, guys. Demons are demons, you know. We're serving God. Now it's like a normal part of life. What used to be our dream is a normal for us. Right now is a season to work. It's a good season. You have to do something. It's like right now is like a spiritual stock market. It's up at the top. 10 years ago, there was nothing. We were just knocking in the closed doors. Nobody could even dream about what we're seeing today. There's a repentance of people. There's deliverance from sickness that the doctors that couldn't fix. There's people that I see all these papers saying that people from the doctors, there's no diabetes, there's no cancer. We hear these testimonies and we're used to it. It's not bad, it's good. What I'm saying is right now is a season. I want to ask you the question, where are you when God is moving? There's two types of people. There's workers and there's watchers. You know, a lot of times we watch boxing. Who watches boxing? Sometimes I watch it if I have time. I like it, you know. And you're watching. There's two guys are fighting. Bam, bam. And you're watching it by the TV eating chips. You're like, oh, man, he didn't hit him right. Oh, he should have done this and that. Oh, you should have went from the bottom. Oh, this guy's a joke. And then, but if I put you over there, you won't even be able to stand 1 second there. You know, sometimes it's so easy to sit on the bench and say, oh, yeah. Why don't you take the place of a fighter and we'll see who you are in the ring. So nobody wants to take the ring. There's 12 people running around and there's 80,000 people watching. And everybody's whistling. Some people are showing down. Some people are showing up. I want to see you go in the field. We're all smart when we're on the couch. Amen. We're so smart. Oh, I wouldn't have said this phrase. I wouldn't have said this joke. I wouldn't have even said that. Well, then run up there and let's see what you can do. Amen? But it's most important for us is to be sustained in this life, to see the older generation. You know why we're screaming and trying to reach God? Because when talking to the older generation, like my grandmas and my older people, I've seen one moment is that if they wish the time didn't go by so fast and they couldn't do nothing. They're asking me, what kind of vision can I have when I'm 70 years old? And I'm standing there, and it's so hard for me to talk to these kind of people who need to be collecting fruit, but they haven't even started anything. That's why my sermon is to those who still have the power and energy and the brains to work. It's better for you to hear me now. If I could, I would transfer myself to the other generation. I would tell this grandma that when she was still a girl and told her about vision and goal. But I couldn't. I can't. Please use your youth and invest it into the right. Then you will reap because life is going to go by quickly. You know, the most... And people who are 60 and 70 years old, main thing they say, life went by and I didn't even notice how. Everybody tells me this. All the older people, they always tell me, life went by and I didn't even notice how. When I came to America, it's been 15, 16 years now. I don't know how, what happened, why I'm here. It was like yesterday that I came here with the suitcases. That's how your whole life flies by. You watch, you got married. You know, our life is like, it's all about fragments. Birth. You see like a pink looking, oh, you're in first grade. Okay, with the books. There's another fragment. And then you're watching. Okay, he's already graduated. He's already had time to get to drink and you know, and hang around and smoke and next thing you know you see somebody who went to the army. He's these fragments. And then you see him, he got out of the army now. He's all chilling now. And then you see another fragment. He got married, you know. Everybody's standing there like there's flowers and you know, bridesmaids and groomsmaids. Next thing you know, you see pictures of the baby on their arms. And you see 1, 2, 3, 4. You see the whole album. And next thing you know, they're grandma and grandpa. And you see this album, and you're seeking what happened with these people who didn't, compared to those people. But all the albums are about the same. You hear me? They just have different faces. You think your album is better than your neighbor's? No. He might even have more fragments than you. But what can you say about you? You were born. Amen. Got married. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you had kids. Thank God. What about you? Who are you? Well, I raise kids. I'm a mama. No, our generation is empty. It's simply empty. And that's it. You know the kind of person that we like to talk about, Martin Luther, the German who made a reformation in the Catholic Church. I read about him, a real interesting book. He was a German guy. And we like to watch. For me, Martin Luther right now is more alive than my neighbor that I know nothing about. I'm telling you seriously. For me, this German who lived in the 1500s is more alive, and he's speaking to me through his books. But the neighbor who lived his whole life, he's like more dead than dead Martin Luther. So I'm telling you, let your life be short, but with a goal and success, then be long and full of nothing. What shall I choose? I don't know. I choose long and successful. Amen. What do you choose? We're here to change something. Our whole life, you know, I already told you about words. Most powerful thing in this world is a word. You'll say, no, a gun. No, a gun. A gun is lifted up by the word and lifted down by the word. You know, a war starts with a word of a general and ends with another word of a general. Word is more powerful. With the word, the whole world was created. With the word, a human was created. The breath of life was done by the word of God. Everything's done by the word. Word is the most powerful thing in our life. I'll tell you how to use your words. What do you say into your life? What do you say to yourself? Well, I'm nobody. Nobody needs me. Who am I compared to these people? But you should just say, I will raise up. I will do it better and more. Because I'm not only going to read his books, I'm going to read his books. And with all this information that God gives me, I'm going to be sustained in the name of Jesus Christ. And in this life, me as a pastor, I had two choices. Either to become the most biggest idiot in this planet, or to become the most biggest warrior and champion. You know, when there's two people going to the ring to fight with box, before they fight, they show a face of one person and another face. And they say, oh, I will kill him. Oh, I will hurt him. He'll cripple that guy. Who is he? So they have this little game of wars. But this fighter only has two choices, either to win or to lose. He only has two choices, two ways out, two situations. If he would be sitting, I'd rather be in the ring of this life and only having two choices in my life, either to win or to lose, than my whole life to sit behind the ring and watch somebody else go. That's my dream. Right now, somebody's watching how I'm fighting. Somebody's watching me on TV. Somebody's listening to me on the radio. Somebody's watching, listening to CDs that's going all over the place through the internet and everything, so on. Somebody's watching my fight. But I want to ask you a question. Who are you watching this fight? Who are you? I'm not only a fighter. I'm also a trainer. I want to train you. I understand that I'm not where I want to be yet. But I'll tell you, I'm definitely not where I used to be. And that means it can teach you something. And I can simply say to you, you can say, you're young. Yeah, that is my bonus that I'm young. You'll say, oh, you're only like 30-something years old. Yeah, that is my bonus, because if in 30 years old I can reach this, imagine what's going to reach me when I'm 60 years old. You hear me? That's why the earlier I start you up, the faster you reach something. Amen? Yeah, first you're going to be choking, you know, like, whoop, do, do, do. It takes time to start. And then you'll start smoking a little bit and then start going. I didn't just start another service, just the radio and this and that. Why do we need all this? No, we're not preaching. Come here, we're the best. We're milk and honey over here. No, we tell them, you have to be sustained. If you're going to be sitting in the rows, you're not going to be sustained. I don't want somebody to leave empty. Yeah, my sermons will point you in the right direction into some kind of action. Yeah, you're not going to sleep. You're either going to love me or hate me. But there's always going to be some kind of reaction. Practically, it don't matter to me. I do what I got to do. That's my whole life. If I at least raise up one champion in my life, whether in this church or other churches, at least one champion, then my life is sustained because I've left something after I left. If somebody will say, if it wasn't for him, I don't know where I'd be. We gotta dream about that kind of phrase. If I didn't get to this home cell group, if I didn't meet God through this person who invited me, that's what goes into eternity. Your Honda Civic with the base box in the back, with lowered with cool wheels, who the car took 10 years to collect that much money. Then a year later, you bam, 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 didn't have an insurance. $40,000. I put VTEC in it. Oh, and it's all done. And forgot to pay $150 for insurance. That's her whole life. We always invest. And then we lose so hard that you can't even remember what you invested into and what you even had. Everything gets burned down to nothing. That's for youth. People that's older generation, they don't know what VTEC is. Thank God. Definitely don't need it. But fact stays to be a fact. We need to be sustained in this life. My dream is not to grow, but to help you sustain, open up the Word, to show you in my personal life how I had to go through the mud with my face, that you can get up, you can wash up, you can raise up, and you know what? You know who people who are laughing? When they pretty much wrote me off and they said, this chapter is over, that's when God said, I've just started writing my book, because he just went through his preparation. Now he's able to go to the ring. You know when the people are fighters are fighting before the real ring, professional ring, they have to get hit in the face a lot of times. I'm in a professional ring now. That's where you can't lose. You can't lose there. Every time you lose, you go down. You got to stay up. You have to stay clean. You got to be in your best. You can't be hanging out. You have to be fasting, like spiritual, I'm talking about. You always got to be in the Word. You got to have always prayer, because you're dragging hundreds and hundreds of people behind you. And imagine all the people you don't see. As soon as you get into the ring, then you'll see around you there's going to be tons of people that's going to want to listen to you. You've just never been in the ring. He say, I'm not like he is. You're not the way like he is, because you didn't take a risk. Take a risk. How can I do it? Who am I? Who am I? The same as you. A practical guy who grew up in the streets and did not humble with myself with the destiny. I decided not to just humble myself on a bench and do nothing. I don't want to be like that. I want to reach something. Everybody remember the youth who was born here probably don't understand what it's like to chew seeds on a bench. my whole life would go by on a bench with like mountains of shells from the seeds. I don't want to live like that. Lockjaw. When we see our season, you have to start doing something. You have to start acting. People start acting when they miss out on the season. I've seen people. You see on his face, he's older. Yeah, he dreamed to do something, but it wasn't his season. Remember Muhammad Ali? Remember when he had when he was defeated? Everybody remembers. You guys don't watch boxing, you know. But it doesn't matter about box. What I care about is the story of people. Believe me, when I see two people who are fighting, I'm not watching the fight. I look into their eyes. I see how they look at each other. I see, even before the fight, I can tell a difference. I can tell who's going to lose or who's going to win. Because in the eyes, it is written. I can look into your eyes, and without a miss, I can say whether you want to live or you're just existing. Because in the eyes of a person, there is fire. This says, I will not give up. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to be laid out. I'm not going to die. We remember in the Bible, there were so many of these lockjaws when a woman would just say, one woman that had the problem with the bleeding, she said, if I could even touch his cloak, I will receive everything that I dreamed about. Everybody else, their whole life, they were around Jesus and did not get nothing. You can be in the best church and not to reach anything. Somebody on the other side, all the way in Ukraine, took this word, ate it, and became a champion. You hear me? Where you at does not make you who you are. What you do makes you who you are. So what do you do? Well, If I had a notebook and wrote, everybody had notebooks and they started writing, what do I do? You'd probably be laughing at your own self. Why do I say this? Because sometimes a trainer, people that he trains, he does not mess around with them. He doesn't say, oh, do you want a cookie? He doesn't say, do you want to lay down? He comes and he said, get up. Tomorrow you have a... hurry up and start running with these dumbbells. And you see him running around because he has he's got an important day tomorrow, like a fight tomorrow or something. Sometimes I come to people, why is he screaming so hard? Why is he? Because I'm training you. I don't want you to grow up to be a donkey. Oh, I don't know. I want to at least to get you to my level, at least to the level that I'm on, and then you'll start doing something in your life, at least to give somebody something, at least to have some kind of a victory somewhere. All you need in life is for your spark to light up, at least one victory in your life, at least one victory, at least one victory. You come out as a conqueror. It's going to be impossible to break you. You'll be able to taste the taste of victory. We used to grow up at Dobermans. They're really mad dogs. All a Doberman Pinscher needs is to let him attack somebody. Before this, they're afraid of people. And then one time you let him take somebody, there was enough people to attack over there. And as soon as he tears somebody up, and that's it. This dog, he feels, he tastes the taste of a fight. This dog is designed it was bred by the Germans to attack. So you just show them what's inside him. So I just want to train you, at least to become a leader, at least to go to encounter, at least one time, cast out at least one demon in your life. You will see, you will feel the kind of taste. When you give somebody a word, you open up your home cell group. All you need is one victory, and then you're just gonna be you're going to be digging more and more in your life. You're going to want to keep getting up and up because you felt that what it's like to be a conqueror. It's, you can have a money. You can have a wonderful family, husband and the wife who don't have to fight with. You can have revelations. You can worship God, and you can reach huge results for Him. That's what I want to at least show you. I can't do something for you. I can't take a step for you. I can't take steps for you. I can't take you and put you into the ring and let you sit down and fight for you. No, I want to raise you up. I want to resurrect a soldier inside you. I know the religion's worked on you a lot, and it's going to take time to clean out the brains, because your whole life they told you. As soon as you, I want to start a little prayer. Who are you? That's it. They killed your potential. As soon as you wanted to fast, they say, who are you? You can't handle it. You can't even handle a day. And then next thing you know, you can't handle a day. I notice in churches, as soon as youth wants to do some kind of a night prayer, without control, there's got to be older brothers there. There's not going to be no prayer there. And then you see that everything is getting destroyed. Everything is getting cut up and get closed down because somebody does not train people but destroys people. Here, everything is open for you. You want a home cell group? You can open up three if you want. If you can handle them, and I'll even help you open them up. The most important is to start something. Take a step into your future. You're saying you can't? No. Yes, you can, as long as you want to do it. As soon as you want something, you're going to want it. If you noticed, do you have money? No, nobody has money, okay? And then as soon as you need a car, you got money. You notice, remember our Russia? In Russia, all the refrigerators are empty. I'm telling you seriously. Maybe there's a couple of bologna, maybe some kind of a hot dogs, unfinished, some cabbage, and half a loaf of bread and some milk. And that's it. There's nothing in the refrigerator. I grew up with it. I know what I'm talking about. As soon as I come to visit somebody, everything's on the table. They have smoked salmon. They have this kind of bread and that kind of bread and this kind of juice and this and that and all kinds of pop. And you see everything on the table. The stores don't even have it. Where do they get it from? You just simply wanted to have it. Especially us, Russians. We can dig stuff out of the ground. You don't have money to buy it. Next thing you know, he bought it. How? Nobody knows how. Still can't get the formula how he did it. I don't know how. Just appeared like that. That's why Americans, you notice they're, they didn't like us at first. You know why? Because I remember, this is a funny thing. Russians came to America, our family. After us, there was other people that came. When I came, there's only like three families, and all the Americans were in shock. They're like giving us cars and everything else. But then the time changed. and then the Russians start taking their own cars. And I watched this picture. Americans wanted to offer some Russians some furniture, free furniture. So they rented a truck. They loaded with their furniture. The furniture wasn't bad, but Russians just barely came to America. They've been here for a month, and they thought that since they only been here a month, you know, they got here. What can they have? They don't have much, but they don't know what's going on with us. So they came to their house and knocked on the door. Their jaws dropped. These Russians who've been here for a month, they had the kind of furniture that those guys didn't even dream about having. They had leather couches. Everything was like, they're like, whoa, I guess you don't need our donation now. They came with a good soul to offer, but they didn't know we're Russians. they'll get these couches out of anywhere. He'll bring it from Ukraine. Everything is all about us wanting something. If we don't have it, that means we don't want it. As soon as we want it, we get it. Amen? I can't. That's a lie. Yes, you can. You just don't want to. As soon as you want to, you'll be able to do it. That's how life is. You know, I like another person who I practically read up his story yesterday and like to learn his story. There's a successful net a net of it's like fast food. Wendy's. They're really successful. There's about 5,000 of them in America. The owner to this person, his name is Dave Jones. When I read his story, it just touched me. Why? Because this guy, he died a couple of years ago. He was about 69 years old. He was a person who reached their dream. He was a billionaire, somebody who reached their dream. Some people say it gets sustained. I'll tell you his story. He was, his parents gave him away to adoption. He was in he grew up in one of those places where there's lots of children. They just feed him there and change their diapers. They don't give him attention. This is a... So at 6 years old, he was adopted by a family. When he did not work out for him there. At 12 years old, he drops out of school because he didn't even have enough food. This person gets out of school. And then he ended up feeling bad about that. Going back to school, and then he finished school, finally finished high school. And then he went to a store, into another net. It's called a KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. He gets to work at KFC and starts working as a dishwasher. He works many years for, he's collecting money that he can save up. And one moment, KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, goes bankrupt and goes down to zero. And for a couple thousand dollars, this guy, he was about 27 by then, he buys this KFC. There wasn't that many of them. This was a real long time ago. And he starts investing money and raising up this dead business down from nothing. It was bankrupt and just gave it away because for nothing. He goes from a dishwasher to an owner because he had a dream. I'll tell you his dream. His dream was not to flip burgers. His dream was to help the children that don't have homes. He didn't tell anybody this. After many years, he told people about his real dream. And what happens, this was a simple guy, always walking around with his short T-shirt, always smiling. He can always shake everybody's hand. He would greet everybody. He always knew the price for every customer who came to us. To his little restaurant, who he named after his daughter. Her name is Wendy. And this person raised up this KFC. And then this KFC started growing. These people who sold it to him, they saw that it's successful. They wanted to buy it back. And he sells these couple of restaurants, fast food KFCs. He sells them for $1.5 million. And at 35 years old, this guy who was... who becomes a millionaire, and he invests his money into his own business. He calls this business Wendy's, and he started simply cooking old-fashioned burgers. There was nothing special in them. They were just ordinary burgers he was just working. But he had a dream, and I believe that this dream, he was also a Christian. Had a ceremony at church and everything. But God seen his dream, and this person had a supernaturally, they had, his burger was not any different than other ones, but his business started growing supernaturally. And then, when he was about 45, 50 years old, he started investing millions and millions of dollars every month to adopt. He even had his own organization that adopts kids without homes, and it would give them to good homes. That was his real dream. All I'm talking about is a person who was nobody was able to sustain. We have a different position. We can reach a lot deeper and bigger things if we want to. If we want, we can flip mountains, because everything is inside of a person. It's just somebody has to be brave enough to get out into the ring and declare about your dream. I'll tell you right away, if you have a wrong motive, God's not going to give you success. If you want to raise yourself up or to worship your name, God's not going to give you success. He's seeking those who are going to bless and raise everybody else up. He's seeking people who was going to resurrect this nation that nobody needs. He's going to dedicate their life to raise up others. When we have the right motives, some people don't understand why. A company, John Deere. John Deere, it's a heavy-duty tractor. There's billions and billions of dollar company. It's a monster company. The owner of this company was a person who said that was his name. His name was John. He said, "My dream," in front of God. He was a Christian. He was a believer. He said, "My dream, till the end of my days, for 10% to stay for me and 90% for me to give away to God." And it happened the same way. He said his dream. He proclaimed. And he started making simple tractors who just cut the grass. And then he got serious and made bigger tractors. And now the most professional and quality tractor is a John Deere now. Because God knew when he raises this organization up, this money, this 90% from this tractor is going to be going to other missions and other churches. He was raising up all kinds of missionaries and so on. And we see there's a tractor, John Deere, but we don't know the history behind this tractor. I want after each one of you to stand a story after you. So it'd be something behind you that we could remember, something we could see. And this company that Dave Jones raised up, it still exists, and they adopt people. And his son does it now. And a father who left his life, he keeps working through his son. Remember, your dream should outlive not only you, but your kids also, if it's from God. If God gave you a dream, it will outlive you, because the disciples had a dream, and it outlived them. And we still dream about what the disciples dream about. And we're still preaching, and we're still carrying the Bible, and our dream will outlive us. Do you have a dream? Do you have something? Do you have something? We're going to read the last place from the Bible, and I'm going to finish up. Are you taking something in for yourself, church? I want to insert a spirit of a conqueror and a soldier inside you before you even become one. You don't become a conqueror in the ring. They are conquerors in the heart before the fight. Before he even goes through the fight, he already knows he's a conqueror. And then he goes out there and takes it as a title. And then he says, "I told you I was a conqueror." And there's people who meet up in the ring. Here it's not about how big your fists are. It's about how big your heart is and the spirit that makes you stand up and keep fighting. A lot of times, guys who fall down from the fight, they have power and everything, but they don't want to get up because the heart, the will is dead. I want to resurrect your will for you to want to go into the ring and conquer, for you to want to reach. Let's read the last spot. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I think. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. We're going to read about Paul. I like Paul. You guys like Paul? The historians said that proved that even half of the books that he wrote did not get into the Bible. There's other books that did not get in. They found them later. You understand? When they're putting the Bible together, they didn't find it. They put it in. They're finding them now, and they're translating them, and they're saying, these are just revelations that explode things. He's done more than the 12 apostles together. Paul still keeps on doing more than the other apostles did, because his word is still teaching us. I'm going to read the story from his life that he wrote about himself. He simply wrote about how hard it was sometimes. But from this spot in the Bible, I got to know how hard Paul was grabbed onto his dream. Let's read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? Well, hold on a second. Let's just watch every word. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. He's saying the Pharisees would beat people 39 times so that person wouldn't die, so they don't want to kill the person. They pretty much killed him. All the organs were messed up from the sticks. The sticks were a serious punishment. Most people did not live after these 40 hits, so they want to make sure you go home and die at home, so they're not responsible. Imagine, they did this 5 times. Can you imagine what kind of terminator this is? The person who cannot kill, it's impossible to stop. When you have a dream and goal, your dream and goal will resurrect you. You don't give up because you still have such a huge will that you not only stand up yourself, you drag the whole nation behind you because you have such a huge dream. You hear me? Do you have a dream? Does your dream is worthy of your life, or is this just a nothing that don't even deserve your life? I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Remember when they dragged him out dead out of the city? They checked his pulse and everything. Paul is gone. He went to Jesus. And next thing you know, for some weird reason, Paul gets up and goes back to the city to preach. Oh, what's this? I don't know. Dream. That's a dream. A person had a dream. He had such a huge goal that death could not stop him. I read these things and I'm thinking, he's like a Terminator of that time. You can't drown him. You can't stone him. You can't beat him with sticks. He was, and ship sinking and a snake biting him. And everybody, he took the snake off and he's sitting there like uh-huh. And then they look at him. He's not dying. Oh, he's a believer. And remember how he was healing the sick on that island. And I'll finish up. Let's watch this. I was stoned 3 times. I was shipwrecked. Not only once, but 3 times. He had everything by the sets. You know, he didn't have things once. He had everything. You look at this person, you don't know what happened to this person. He's just telling you in a couple of verses. Imagine how much you have to live through this. 5 times to get hit with sticks. How many times you had a chance to say, I don't want to serve you, God. What's the point of getting hit in the head all the time? God, you're supposed to protect me somehow. But he had such a huge dream. He didn't care about the sticks. They were like, They're like matches to him. Oh, well, we'll lay around for a little bit and get better. This was a person, I read about this person, God, is there people like that in the world? Is there any more people left like that? I know. If there isn't, there will be. Amen? There will be, in the name of Jesus Christ. They spread a rumor about us, and then we're like, Julie, no. Maybe we should hit you with the sticks 5 times. Oh, they say so bad about your church. And they're going to start talking bad about me, so I can't go there. Imagine that. Imagine what kind of Christians are writing about their story. Oh, they spread rumors about me 3 times. They showed me the finger 3 times. And so... And he gave up. 2 rumors and that's it. He's done. Some people takes 5 rumors and he's done. Some people come to me. You're holding on so tight. What? I hold on? I don't know. who's messing around. I don't even care. I worship God here. I'm pulling nation out of the bottom. Who cares about some old grandma talking stuff about me? I don't even understand what she's talking about. Oh, I don't like your show. Oh, that's it. Oh, it hurt me. So my feelings so bad. No, it doesn't matter to us. Our job is to pull the nation out of the bottom of the if I had to do it with my street language, I'm going to do it with my street language as long as there are results, and results are there, so hallelujah. Everything is judged by the fruit, by the results. If it works, it works. If your stuff doesn't work, then throw it away. You know, most important is we have a dream and we keep moving according to our dream. Okay, my time is finishing up. Well, he wasn't finished yet. We keep rolling. I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false brothers. Look at his life. Everywhere he gets, there's danger. No matter where he goes, there's danger. You, my beloved ones, how can you tell me? What person can go through this? Only a person who has a huge dream. Any one of us who doesn't have a dream, the first subject, that's it. It'd be done. You'd get scared. And we watch this and we're thinking, what a champions that they had back then. And we say, Lord, resurrect our champions. And let's keep reading. I have labored and toiled. I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. Do you want to live like that? I'll tell you. I'd rather live like this than to leave something out of my life behind me. We're not in the kind of world. Yeah, they're not going to hit us with the sticks. They're not going to try to stone us. I don't know. There's no. There's asphalt. There's no rocks around here. It's hard to rip up asphalt. So there's a lot of things we won't have to live through. But we live in a time where it's a season to work. Amen, church? We live in a time where it's time to take over the nation. It's time to overcome yourself. Go into a fast. Go into kind of a spiritual warfare. Start fighting. Say, God, I will take over this in the name of Jesus Christ. I will do this. I will do that. And start doing what you dream about. Start giving up without putting up a fight and just existing. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. It's barely... Besides everything else, I face daily pressure for my own concern from all the churches. And what can be in the body of a person that does not even... We read about this and we're thinking, no, it's a dream makes your body impossible to die. Remember Elijah? Couldn't even bury anybody next to him. And they threw a naked person. He got resurrected and ran off. What is this? I don't know. The dead people walking around. Terrible. They throw people in there and then people come back out of there. The bones had the kind of anointing that Christians don't even have. Hundreds of thousands of Christians don't have. Bones of a person who had a dream. Bones of a person who had the thirst to reach. Oh, God. My time is over. That's it. I apologize. Okay. Besides everything else, I face daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? Paul, you don't have to prove to me that this person has fruit. That he cannot die. That proves to me that he has such a huge dream that thousands of people repent, and thousands till this day repent from reading about this guy that served Jesus Christ. And like the bones of Elijah, who is resurrecting dead people. Same thing with these. He didn't write here about his title. He didn't write his his crusades, 150 people repented. I paid $80,000 for this. No. Tell me what happened to you. I slowly, little by little, tell you about my things that happened to me. Don't be afraid of things that happen to you. And then when you remember about it, it's just going to be like your rewards that could not overtake you. I want to ask you one last question. What can stop your dream? If there's something that can stop your dream, then this dream is not from God. Because what's from God, even death cannot stop. Amen.